I know it's brave of me, but I'm going to do it. You know, I was thinking this Sunday, seeing Brother Joel at church. What a big deal. Hey, wasn't that great to see? And him bringing his testimony in. I know everybody's been praying for Brother Joel. I hate he's had to go through that. But he's got a testimony for sure. Well, tonight I want to talk a little bit about what does God want from me? What does God expect from us? Sometimes in my life, you know, I'm sure I don't have the struggles that some of you have, but I'm weaker than some of you also. But sometimes I get a little bit overwhelmed, maybe with workload, problem load, you name it. But sometimes I just get a little bit, it gets a little heavier than I think I can handle. One day I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, Lord, what do you want from me? I don't know. I mean, I'm just being honest. That's what was in my head. I don't like to pretend I'm something I'm not, but that's what was in my head. Lord, what do you want from me? And, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you and kind of gives you something. And what I got after asking that question was not an audible voice, but a sense of, it's not what I want from you, it's what I want for you. I was a little taken back, not really, I don't even know that I was consciously asking the question, but that's kind of where my spirit settled. My thoughts on that is, God, He doesn't expect a whole lot from me. He expects nothing from me. I have really nothing to offer that he doesn't already have. So it makes sense that he wouldn't expect a lot from me. I think when I think about this, I think about my kids. I don't expect a lot. I'm not looking for gain from them. I'm not looking for something from them. I'm looking for what we can do for them. I just want them to have the best in life. And you know, actually, it's my pleasure to provide for them and to give them things and to put them on the right path. And as long as they're working hard and they're thankful and they're grateful and they're appreciating things, I'm happy to give and you know, make things comfortable for them or good for them. And it's a whole lot easier when they're following my rules. If I feel like there's some rebellion, which I really don't have to deal with a whole lot of that, but if I feel like there's rebellion, I start thinking, well, hey, wait a minute. do I need to start pulling back here a little bit? I just don't really look for things from them, but I do want things for them. And I can see God may see us in the same light. And I think He can bless us a lot easier when we're grateful, when we're following His rules, when we're abiding by what He says we should do. It's really hard to bless someone that's walking around in pride, someone that's got a lot of anger and resentment and acting out toward other people. God has trouble blessing that. There are some truths in the universe, though, and some things that we have to follow. If I took this pen right here and I let it go, it's going to fall. It's going to do it every time. I could do this over and over tonight, and that pen would fall every time. It's because of a law that God put in place, the law of gravity. There are just some things that are. There are some things that are real, and I can't necessarily discern gravity, but I can see the effects of it every time I drop something. I can feel the pull of it. The more weight I gain, the heavier I feel. Just saying. Has anybody noticed that? There are just some laws, some rules that God has set up for us. You know, even in our bodies, there's rules. I know if I eat bacon, I'm going to run my cholesterol up. Yet, you know, I don't always turn down bacon. I kind of like it. But it's not the best for me. But there's just some physics of that. We do things, there's a cause and effect. A lot of us have sin that makes us worse in our lives, and we continue those things. Isn't it kind of goofy how we are as humans that we can do something that's wrong, know it's wrong, understand that it's not helping our lives, and turn right around the next week and do it again? It's unfortunate that we keep that struggle. But a lot of times we fight God's ability to make the very best life for us because we can't let things go. Sometimes we struggle to let things go. So I want to look at some of the rules that God has in the Bible for us. God set up some rules. Let's go to Exodus 20. This will be a very, very familiar set of scripture for all of you. I'm just going to real quickly remind us of the Ten Commandments, the law that God set forth to us, the rules that God would have us live by. Exodus 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. God's saying here, don't bow down to anything in this world that's man-made. I think we all struggle with that. We all get a little God set up in our life, and that's in violation of a commandment. In verse 6 it says, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God in the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's a big deal to take God's name in vain. It's not a big deal in our society. It's happening all around us, but that's a big deal. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them that is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. The Sabbath is a special day. Verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. And there's a promise that comes with this one. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 13, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Covetousness is one of the 7 deadly sins. Let's skip down to verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. In verse 24 he says, an altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shall sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. He goes through all these Ten Commandments, and he finishes by saying, if you can do this, if you can follow my rules, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. I will come to your altar, and I will bless you. Okay, so this is the Old Testament, right? We all know there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. God no longer wants us to sacrifice burnt offerings. That's no longer a requirement. That sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, still necessary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's the law, just like gravity. People are trying to get to God and trying to get repentance in so many different ways. Finding peace within, looking for themselves, mindfulness. And I'm not necessarily against, you know, learning how to relax and learning how to settle your body down, but some of the stuff just gets plumb goofy, looking for this stuff within ourselves. Our peace comes from God. God made the final sacrifice on the cross with Jesus. That was the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. So we no longer have to kill an oxen or a sheep. We no longer have to offer a burnt offering. The law that the blood must be shed for the remission of sins still remains. It's just now the only acceptable sacrifice is the one that Jesus made on the cross. And we must accept that to be saved. There's just no other way. There's no other path. And I know absolutes like that get less and less popular as we try to make everything okay in our society. But we can't stop gravity. And we can't stop the fact that God's word is true. And God's word is very clear about the fact that we have to accept Christ as our Savior for the remission of sins. So what about the other rules? Well, outside of the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, all the other commandments still apply just like they did before. There was no change to thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Those things are still in place. And they still apply to the physics of the universe in our lives. And I would argue that some of the big ones we're following, we're pretty good at not killing anybody, even though we probably kill people in our mind all the time. I don't know. You got a thumbs up on that one, brother? All right. I'm sure I've been killed a few times in people's minds. I'm positive of that. It's hard for us to follow the law. That's why grace was necessary. We are not good at disciplining ourselves against any law, even God's law. God gave us the commandments to focus on so we could take life in smaller, more manageable chunks. Let's turn over to the book of Matthew chapter 22. I've got a feature in this car that I've got now that on the speedometer, it's digital, and it displays the speed limit in the area that you're in. I guess it's run by GPS, and you know it changes. I know some of you have that feature. And I find that it helps me with my speeding problem. It helps me be aware. It's not always accurate because sometimes the sign will change and it takes a while for the car to change, whatever, so it's imperfect. But the law is very clear about there's absolutes around speed limits. And if I'm doing 50 in a 35, you would think, well, that's not that big of a deal, is it? But guess what? If you get pulled over, you get a ticket. It's just an absolute. God's laws are also absolutes. And I'm going to warn you, do not speed through Whitesburg. I'm going to say that publicly and to a large group. And I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing up. Don't speed in Whitesburg. And I've noticed that now that I'm becoming more and more conscious of the signs, I've noticed that some areas that like to give tickets, it'll be 55, then 3 seconds later it's 45, then half a second later it's 35. It's a setup. Absolute setup. Matthew verse 22, or chapter 22, let's go down to verse 34. No different than today, people were having trouble with the Ten Commandments and following all those rules. And in verse 34 it says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer," of course, a lawyer. There's not any lawyers in here. I don't have any problem with lawyers itself. They're just geared different. I don't know how they do what they do. It's a very mundane task. It's a very mundane job. So this lawyer was looking for logic and asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" They were always asking Jesus questions, trying to trip him up. How's he going to answer this one? Aren't they all equally important? You know, what's he going to say? Well, he had an answer for him. Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." Very clear. And he said, I'll give you a bonus commandment. "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets." He said, you get these two things right, you love God and you love others, everything else works out. You don't have to worry about the rest of the rules. You don't have to worry about thou shalt not steal, because you can't steal from someone if you love them. You don't have to worry about adultery, because you can't do that if you love people. And you don't want anybody to get hurt. Because guess what? People get hurt. You can't covet something somebody else has if you love them. You want to see them do well. You want to see them prosper. So I think it was genius what Jesus said there. So I'd say if that's what he says are the two main things we should focus on, I believe we could focus our energy in this place. In order for God to bless us and bless us fully, we have to turn loose of our destructive behaviors and not focus on ourselves. Most of us have a self sickness. Most of us do. Now, some of you are evolved past that. I don't know who you are, but I'm sure you're in here. And if you think you're that person, then maybe you are. But I have a self problem, and I think most of us struggle with a self problem. God, our command is to keep God first and love our neighbors as ourselves. It can be difficult, but it's as true as the law of gravity. Consequences in varying degrees are associated with these truths from God. I gave a speech to a group of people. Sometimes I have to do little gatherings or whatever at work. And, you know, I was talking and I had planned out what I was going to say. And it didn't go the way I had planned it. You know, I didn't stick to my plan. I wasn't happy with what happened there. And I was, you know, kind of beating myself up afterward. And I'm going, you know, you ever do that? You kind of second guess what you said, how you said it, the whole deal. And you get the little anxiety and you start working on your, you know, start beating yourself up. And then it kind of hit me. I wasn't the only person that talked. There were everybody in the room. I'm probably the only person that's still thinking about what I did or didn't do. Nobody really cares. People don't care as much about what we've got going on as we think they do. Matter of fact, most people that might have been in that room or that are in this room will be thinking about what's going on in their life as opposed to what I did or didn't say, or maybe I stumbled or stammered. It's just the way it is. We have the ability to really focus on ourselves and become self-centered. You know, I've shared this before, but I would remind you, if you're going through a stack of photos and you're kind of flipping through pretty quick, which one do you stop on and spend some time? It's usually the one that has yourself in it, right? Oh, I'm getting a little fat. Well, that was a bad angle. Let me try some more. What's going on here? I do think it's true, though, that we stop on our own photo. God is so good to us, and He wants what's best for us. He does expect us to work, though. He does expect us to put forth effort. God does not bless slothfulness. Slothfulness. I don't think I can say that word. I hope y'all know what I mean. He does expect us to use our talents for His glory. He's the one that gave us the talents. Let's go look at the talents in the Bible here. In Matthew 25, just flip over a little bit. We're going to look at the talents, the story of the talents. You know, every one of you have some unique talents that the others in here don't have. I hope you believe that. I hope you can take that into your spirit and really believe that. All of you have traits that are just yours, because they're unique to you, because you have a unique purpose. We don't always feel like it. We don't always see it. We're not even always using it. But it's there. Because God's not going to waste a good human being without giving them a purpose in life. And I'll say, you know, and sometimes in my life I feel like, hey, things are going well. I'm making a difference. I'm moving things. We're good. I have purpose in this moment. And then you may go through 3 years where you're just kind of treading water. And, you know, that's the gig. That's what this is. You can't always live on the mountaintop. You can't, you know, what would happen to you if every day was win, 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 win? You'd get arrogant, arrogant, arrogant. We need humbling moments. We need extended periods of humbling moments for God to shape us and mold us into what we should be. We got a saying at my house: if the girls have a bad day and, you know, I really don't know how to console them, I'll say, some days you get the bear, some days the bear gets you. I don't even have to finish it anymore. I just say, some days you get the bear, some days the bear gets you. And I feel that way a lot of times. You know, you come dragging in home and just the bear's chewed on me all day and you just got nothing left. Matthew 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. We all get something put in our trust. This Lord, this man here, he had things that belonged to him that he put in other people's care in this parable. God has things that He's put in our care. Those talents we were just talking about, those gifts that you have, He put them in your hands. Verse 15, and unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. This man gave them the talents based on their ability. Here's 5 for you, because you can handle 5. Here's two for you because you can handle two. And here's one for you because you can handle one. That's the way this man, he got to decide, and God gets to decide what he's going to hand to us for us to have in our care and for us to use. He expects us to utilize the talents, and he's given it in proportion to those gifts. So what does God expect from me? Kind of where we started this lesson. Well, he expects me to do something with what he gives me. He doesn't expect me to consume it, waste it, do evil with it. He expects me to do his work with it. In Luke, you don't have to turn. I'm just going to go ahead and read this verse. Luke 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. He that didn't know the rules, he that didn't have the spirit, that does wrong, consequences will be smaller. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. To sin and not be in the light, consequences are smaller. To have the light and to do wrong anyway, that's a pretty precarious place for us to be. And I'd say most of us sitting here know what the rules are. We know what God expects from us. And when we make a conscious decision not to follow what he expects from us, we should expect consequences for that. God doesn't stop loving us. He doesn't take away our salvation. But he just can't bless bad behavior. Just can't do it. Verse 16, then he that had received five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. So he doubled it. This guy doubled what he'd given him. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained another two. He doubled it. Five plus five, two plus two. But he that received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There's always going to be a reckoning. There's always a reckoning someday. And what the Lord has blessed us with, he's going to be looking for what we did with it. We can't live our lives in fear of stepping up, holding on to our destructive behaviors. In verse 20 it says, and so he that received five talents came and brought other five, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. In verse 21 it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Notice that word. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. Verse 23 it says, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. I find it interesting that verse 23 is an exact repeat of what he said in verse 21. The one that doubled five talents was going to be trusted with more and was allowed to come into the joy of the Lord. The one that doubled two talents got the exact same reward. It's not what we end up with. It's not how big or grandiose we produce. It's, did I take what I was trusted with And did I act responsibly with it? Did I do my part? If I got the two talents and I look at the one that got the five, am I supposed to be jealous because they got five? Am I supposed to feel inferior because they came up with ten and I only landed with four? That's not the way God sees it, because the Lord could have given them 10 talents or 30 talents or 80 talents. There's not a number of talents that God can't put on us. God's not impressed when we make 100 or make 1,000 or make 100,000 or whatever big number is big, because it's all about the spirit and the heart of what's happening that God's looking for. He's looking for the behaviors. He's looking for us to be responsible with the things that He's given us. It's easy to think about this in terms of money because it's pieces, it's talents. In the story, that's what it is. It's pieces of money. But this parable is speaking to so much more than just money. It's speaking to the actual talents. It's speaking to the gifts. Everything that the Lord supplies us with should be respected in this way, that we're using it to the most of our abilities and trusting God with it. In verse 24, then he which had had one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He said, I took that thing that you gave me and I hid it. I took that gift that you gave me and I hid it. You can have it back. You can have the one talent back, but there's been no multiplication. There's been no growth. There's been no prosperity because I was afraid of you. I find it interesting, a lot of times we put God in a box. We define Him based on the way our brain works. Unfortunately, this guy put the Lord in an angry box. Some of us put God in an angry box. God is a God of wrath, true, but He's also a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. He's a God of joy. He's a God of peace. We got to react to the gifts that God gives us in the full context of who God is. He made an excuse. Because you are a hard man, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Often we find people who aren't meeting their potential blaming others. Call it the victim mentality. I hate the victim mentality. I have a pet peeve because I look for people to take ownership. If there's a problem, one very important question that we can often ask ourselves is, what part of the problem am I? What part of this situation is me? This guy didn't see any problem. He just saw a problem with the Lord, with his Lord here that gave him the money. Verse 26, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strown. Thou oughtest therefore to have put money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. He said, you should have at least given it to the folks that hold money, and they would have given me interest. You didn't do anything. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I want to remind you of Luke 12:48 here. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask much more. So this servant with 5 talents turned it into 10, and he leaves with 11. You may notice in society, prosperity seems to go to a smaller and smaller percentage of people. And a lot of that has to do with kind of the laws of money and prosperity. That's what happened here with this situation. God knew that he could trust with a little, and he says, okay, if I can trust you with a little, I can trust you with a lot. A lot of times we have to demonstrate in our lives that God can trust us with a little bit. Maybe we have a talent that God's really wanting to blossom and really wanting to prosper in a big way, and he may try us out with that talent in a small setting, in a small situation, and see how did we react to that. And if it went well, did we handle it with humility or did we handle it with pride? And maybe if we handle it with humility and that prospers his kingdom, then he can try us in a larger situation or a larger setting, and so on and so on. God grows the things in the areas where he sees that he can trust. In verse 29 it says, "For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath." That's that law I was talking about. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." God's expectations for us, what does God expect for us in our life? And God has expectations for us in our life, in our work, in our home, in our church. God needs nothing that we have to offer. He needs nothing from us. What he wants to do is bless us. We have to understand the laws that were set up, the lifestyle he expects, the heart he would have from us. We have to be positioning ourselves to receive what he wants for us. God wants good things for us. He wants things for us, not from us. He's always working to our good. Thank you for your attention tonight.